Going to do something a little different tonight, the way we start off with this, as we get into the depth of the message. Anybody know what tomorrow is?
Veterans Day.
Okay. All right. Why don't you turn the PowerPoint for me, please? Thank you, veterans. What is Veterans Day?
People that have served our country.
Okay. It's set aside to thank and honor all who serve, living or deceased, particularly the living ones among us. Tonight, I believe, Mike, you're in the Army, right? Okay. Anybody else here tonight that was in the military? Okay. All right. Well, we do thank the Lord for every one of our branches of military, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, Navy, Air Force, and Army. And we thank the Lord for, because, you know, you say, well, you know, maybe you didn't serve in a war, but the thing about it is, like, we still need military even in peacetime, because if other countries realize, it's kind of like, I always like what Theodore Roosevelt said, walk softly but carry a big stick. That means have good military, and so we thank the Lord for it. And then I found out also that today is a very special day for one branch of the military. Today, 246 years ago today, the United States Marine Corps was founded. Now, the hoorah. Is he? Okay. And give you a little bit of personal background. Some of you may know about it, or I've shared with you. Once I got out of high school, my goal was to join the Marine Corps. I came this close to it. My Uncle Joe, he was a Marine in World War II, got wounded at Iwo Jima. And so we lived just across the hall, as you say. And he's one of my favorite uncles. And he groomed me to be a Marine. I've got his, so some of his stuff that he had. I have like his K-bar that he used in World War II. And so that was it. I remember a couple years ago, my oldest brother was a first lieutenant Green Beret and went to Nam. And then my other brother, he was in the Air Force and during Nam, but he was stationed like in Thailand, the Philippines, and everything. And I remember a couple of years ago, I told them both how much I appreciated their service, and I kind of felt somewhat in my past that I regretted that I didn't join the Marine Corps. And my oldest brother, being the wise older brother that he is, he said, because one reason I didn't join the Marine Corps is because God called me to preach. And so I took off to college to study for the ministry. And so my oldest brother said, well, Dale, the Lord just called you into a different battlefield. And so that's the reason I didn't join the Marines. But I've always been partial to the Marines. Now, so I'm going to share with you a little bit about the Marine Corps. And I do have a purpose in why I'm doing it. And you'll see it. It'll all come together by the end, hopefully. All right. But now this is something interesting. Today's program, the Marine Corps, when you sign the dotted line or the line says you are joining the Marine Corps, you become a poolie. You have not gone to boot camp yet. You're waiting, but you're a poolie. That's an odd name for that, but that's what they are called. Called a poolie. They've signed up to become a Marine. And then when the time comes, they go to boot camp. As I understand, they get them off the bus. They have yellow footprints on the sidewalk or whatever, and they position them there on these yellow footprints, and then it begins, and you become a recruit. You're no longer a poolie. You are a recruit. And they do not call you a Marine. They call you a recruit. And it begins. And They say, according to a lot of research, that the Marine Corps is one of the toughest boot camps training there is. And when you look at some of these DIs, it's like, man, how would you like somebody yelling in your face? Of course, I'm sure they did it in the Army, too. Yelling at you, you know, screaming at you and calling you all sorts of names and pushing you and ridiculing you, which is part of the training. Just look at the faces on some of these guys in the training that they're doing. I mean, you don't see any joy. You don't see any pleasantry. It's all like, you know, pain, grit, and push. But that's part of boot camp. And they're just going, they're having to discipline themselves. They're working on them. They've been long runs. And I mean, even look at the faces on the guys here. It's like, man, they're about ready to pass out. Just all the pushing and prodding and disciplining they are. And then they get the pack that they hear the pack. I did a search that the when they are fully equipped, it's the same way with also the Army, that they're generally carrying anywhere from 90 to 150 pounds of gear. And, I mean, that's a lot. And, I mean, it goes to show you why God calls, I mean, why the military calls for young fellows to do it. again, a lot of gear. I mean, that includes the rifle and ammo, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's a lot of hardships. And those that endure to the end of boot camp, they graduate, and then they are called a Marine, and not before. They are not called a Marine until they finish boot camp. So the progression there is a poolie by signing up. Then they go to boot camp and call to recruit. And if they succeed, then and only then are they called a Marine. And now let me also say this. We're going to read a passage that uses the word soldier. You never call a Marine a soldier. That's what you call Army. They're both important, great guys. It's just that something that's, you might say it's the esprit de corps. That you, a Marine is called a Marine, Army's called soldier. And if you want to insult a Marine, call him a soldier. Just because that's just what they're how they're trained. That's the esprit de corps. It's not a degradation of a person that is a soldier. It's just the way that they train them. So with that in mind, keep those things a poolie, then a recruit, then a Marine. And the progression there. I want to ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? What I'm wanting to accomplish there is a parallel with the levels of the Marine Corps. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are first called a believer. Acts 5:14, where it says, and believers were added into the church daily. You're a believer. You're saved. You're born into the family of God. You become a believer. Then you have a choice to make. Are you going to commit yourselves to growing in the Lord? Are you going to commit yourself to learn the principles and truths and practices of biblical teaching? If you're willing to commit yourself, then you're called a disciple. As you're reading again, notice progression. Acts chapter 5, you're a believer. Then in Acts chapter 6, then they're called disciples. Someone committed to learning. And then, lastly, then you're called a Christian. Remember what it says in Acts chapter 11? That Paul and Barnabas were there in Acts chapter 11. And verse 26, 11:26, am I in the right book? And when he had found him, talking about Barnabas finding Saul, he brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. What we see there is that it's not a name that they took upon themselves. As people were watching their lives, they'd, man, you're sounding just like Christ. You're acting just like Christ. And therefore, it was a name that other people gave the disciples as they were growing in the Lord. Then they were called Christians. So that kind of goes back to the question. Again, don't answer out loud, but are you a Christian? If people were to watch your life, would they see Christ? If they see Christ, then yes, you're a Christian. See, we've kind of muddied the label there, you might say, a little bit. We generally say, well, yes, I'm a Christian, mean I'm saved. But in this particular context of study, are you a Christian? Am I a Christian? Am I truly exemplifying Jesus Christ? Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to talk about how to become a Christian. We looked at how to become a Marine. Well, we're going to kind of follow the same pattern of thought. You become a believer by accepting Christ. We commit ourselves to growing in the Lord as a disciple, and hopefully in time we get the honor of being called a Christian. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul here in verses 3 and 4, I'd like for us to read and look tonight. The title of the message tonight is Soldiers for Christ. Soldiers for Christ. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3, Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's read that again, those two verses. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's pray. Father, we come tonight. Guide our thoughts, Father. And most importantly, for those of us that are saved, Father, stir our hearts to hunger and thirst to be what you want us to be. May we truly be soldiers for Christ. Lord, work in our hearts. Stir within us a hunger, a thirst for you. In Christ's name, amen. As we think about, again, how to become a Christian, there's four points I'd like for us to consider. We must have a cause. We must have a cause. Why does a person join the military? There's a cause. I mean, if a person joined the military because they want a paycheck, I'd go into another business. Probably pay a lot more. Wouldn't be near as dangerous. Remember King David? Of course, he wasn't king at the time. He's only 17 years old, we believe. There's this big, tall guy, about 9'9". Ridicule on the people of Israel, the God of Israel. And David goes around finding out what's going on. And his older brother ridicules him. What are you doing here? What was David's response? Is there not a cause? Isn't that a good question? Is there not a cause? If we want to be a soldier for Christ, we need to understand there is a cause. You know, I feel sorry for these people that are involved in so many causes across the world, across their country. I mean, you saw like people marching, white people marching in Black Lives Matter rallies. You see people getting involved hugging trees. Don't cut down the trees. That's their cause. And what's that one woman, that young girl, that's what, just a teenager going around trying to talk people into climate change issues? She has a cause. The thing about those causes, though, they're all temporal, earthly things. And what is so sad is that if you want a real good cause, what about the cause for Christ? Because, you know, a soldier, we're talking about soldiers, so we're talking about war. You know, I mean, the Bible refers several times about the aspect that once we're, as a Christian, as a believer, as a disciple, we are in a war. I mean, think about several different passages. For example, like in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Why? Why do you wear armor? He talks about picking up a sword. He talks about putting on a helmet, a breastplate of righteousness. Why? That's warfare stuff. That's stuff for fighting battles. Because why you say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Folks, we are in a war. A war for the souls of mankind. We're in a war trying to salvage people from ruining their lives and from going to hell. We're in a warfare trying to help people get victory over the onslaughts of the devil. Oh, how many people are messing up their lives because they're listening to the lies of the devil. And so we're in a warfare. I mean, the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said in verse 18, he said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. He's talking about, look, we are in a war. We have a cause. So to be a good soldier, we need to understand we must have a cause, and we do have a cause. We are called to be an ambassador for Christ. And there's no better cause for us to be involved in. So many times we forget that. God didn't save us just to save us from hell. He didn't save us just for the sake so that we could, that we would go to heaven. Praise God, He did do that. Thank the Lord that, when we accept Christ as our Savior, we're not going to hell. Praise God, we are going to heaven someday. But while we're here, we're in the middle of a war against Satan, against the devil and his devils, trying to be an ambassador for Christ. We must have a cause. But then as we go on and look at this passage, the second thing we look at is we must have endurance. To be a good soldier for Christ, like a recruit in the Marine Corps, they've got to endure boot camp. And what does it say there in verse 3? Thou therefore endure hardness. You know, the Christian life is not easy. To truly live the Christian life, it is not easy. You've got the devil, you've got his devils, you've got the world, we have our own flesh. It's a constant battle. Constant battle. And how many people get, like you think about the parable there about the sower of the seed, how some seed thrown among stone, stony ground, when the sun comes out and it sprouts up, and then it withers down and is no longer doing anything. That's what happens to a lot of people. They do not endure hardness as a Christian. Do not endure hardness. And so we need to learn the importance of enduring hardness. You know what that involves? You know one of the things that we need to remember about biblical Christianity? What did Jesus say? Take up thy what? Cross. How often? Daily. And we need to remember a cross is not something easy to carry. Jesus demonstrated that. See, we always, it's our nature we want comfort. I mean, just like you get a thermostat in your house and it's got the comfort zone, We don't like to be out of our comfort zone. I mean, we like sitting on padded seats, having a nice air conditioning in a heated building, nice adequate lights, Driving here in an air conditioner or a heated car, going home to a refrigerator full of food, ice cream included. We like being comfortable. But you know what? Biblical Christianity calls us for taking up the cross, denying self, saying no to our flesh, saying no to the world, saying no to the devil. That's the hardness. So when Paul is saying here, thou therefore endure hardness, that's part of the hardness we have to endure. And what does it mean to endure? It means to stay under it. Stay with it. A recruit in the Marine Corps training, and if they don't stay with it, they're kicked out. How much do we endure hardness as a believer? I mean, you think about, again, boot camp, Marine Corps, or the Army. They've got to discipline themselves. They've got to exercise. They've got to do push-ups. They've got to do crunches. They've got to do set-ups. They've got to run. They've got to endure the yelling in their ear and right in their face. I've always wondered if those DIs have bad breath. Boy, that'd be a really hardship, wouldn't it? I mean, they're right there in your face. But they have to discipline themselves. You know one reason why we don't endure hardness? Because we want to discipline ourselves to faithful church attendance. It's a hardship. That's a hardness. I mean, it's far more enjoyable to sit at home in our easy chair watching TV with our glass of tea sitting there or whatever. It's a challenge when you're tired, you've worked hard, you're tired, and you're just like, I'd just rather just sit down and take it easy. But the discipline of going to church, the discipline of reading your Bible. We will not become a soldier for Christ if we don't spend time in God's Word. And it's a discipline. I mean, I'm in my Old Testament reading again and going through like the Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And I'm telling you, you've got to discipline yourself to get through those books. I mean, you go like through 80 verses and all it's talking about the 12 tribes bringing this many golden spoons and this and this. And it's the same thing. It takes discipline to go through. But you know what? God says He blesses His Word. And we need to read it anyway. Like I've said before, reading God's Word sometimes is like steak and potatoes. Sometimes like German chocolate cake. And sometimes it's like dry cornflakes. You know, hard to get down. But you know what? There's still nutrition in it. But if we want to be a soldier for Christ, we have to discipline ourselves. And prayer time, talking with the Lord, enduring hardness. But you know, also another thing about enduring hardness is staying in the battle. Staying in the battle. Life is challenging, folks. Life, that's part of our sin-cursed world. We have battles to face all the time. The battle of health, maybe. The battle of finances. The battle of relationships. And oh, how many times many people, they get gloriously saved, and then the hardships come. They quit going to church. They quit reading their Bible. And they just give up on serving God. During the Civil War, when a person deserted, if they caught them, what happened to them? They were shot. Because they did not endure hardness. They were a disgrace. They were labeled cowards. Paul says, you want to be a soldier for Christ? Then endure hardness. Stay in the battle. When the trials of life hit you and me, we have to discipline ourselves and stay under and endure hardness. Because again, was that not what Christ did? I mean, think about what all Christ went through. I mean, people called him names. People accused him of doing work through the power of Satan. At one time he had thousands of people, and then thousands of them left. His own disciples left him alone to go to the cross. But praise God, he stayed on goal. He stayed and endured hardness. And what happened as a result of it? Like the Lord says in Philippians 2, there's going to come a day that every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. And it's because he is obedient to the death of the cross. If we want to be a soldier for Christ, we must endure hardness. So we must have a cause. We must endure hardness. Thirdly, we must have focus. Because notice what it said there in verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. When a person is called into the military full time, he doesn't have a business on the side where he goes and works 40 hours of the business, then reports for duty when he can. He's got to keep focused. I am a soldier. I am a Marine. I am a sailor. That right now is my focus in life. And you know, when they sign up for 4 years or 3 years or a life for 20 or 30 years, that's their focus. They keep that focus. They don't get entangled with things outside of that focus. And he said here, no man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. You know, going back again to the parable that Jesus talked about, sower the seed. Remember, not only was it thrown in stony ground, but it's also sown in thorny ground. And what does the scripture say about what type of fruit or what happened to that situation? Because if you've done any gardening, like we've talked about before, one thing that good ground will raise is not only will it raise good corn, tomatoes, beans, it'll also raise good what?
Weeds.
And sometimes those weeds will overtake the good stuff. And that's what Jesus was trying to say. It's that it's good ground. And the fruit is starting to come. Have you ever noticed how disappointed it is? I remember a few years ago, tried to plant a tomato plant. And man, I'm telling you, here comes this great big, red, juicy tomato. I could see that tomato already sliced on a nice sandwich. You know what happened? It got tomato rot. What a disappointment. You know, that's what the Lord sees in your life and mine. When we are about ready to bear fruit, then what does He say? The cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this life choke out the fruit. That's getting entangled with the affairs of this life. That's a constant battle because we have cares. We have to wash the dishes. We have to change the oil. We have to go to work. We have to pay the bills. We have to iron clothes. We have to work to get money. And there's nothing wrong with having pleasure. But if we're not careful, those things will choke out our fruitfulness for the glory of God. And that's what Paul, he's telling here, says, don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. But you know what other type of affairs? What about, plainly, sin? You know one thing that will derail any person of being a good soldier for Christ is letting sin in his or her life that is not dealt with. Oh, how we need to be sensitive to sin in our life. Whether it's the sin of lust or the sin of lying or the sin of bitterness, the sin of cursing. Sin hinders our effectiveness of being a Christian. I'm not saying about it affects our being saved. It affects us being a Christian. And that's one of the things that will that entangles us with the affairs of this life. We're letting the flesh rule instead of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord is exhorting us, saying here, look, we must have a focus, keep a focus of being right with God and serving Him. Deal with sin. Oh, how we need to remember time and time again through the Scriptures where God exhorts us, be holy. What does that mean? That means deal with sin. Oh, how we need to pray that God will make us sensitive to the Holy Spirit about dealing with sin in our life, even the small ones. Is there one thing you'll find, as the Lord shows me, the more you desire to be close with the Lord, the more you desire to be used of the Lord, the more sensitive you'll become to even the smallest sin. If you and I sin and it doesn't bother us, then it's indicative that we need to hit the altar. Of getting right with God. Deal with sin. What did Paul say in Hebrews chapter 12? Which, I mean, I think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Lay aside every weight and besetting sin. You know what the weight is? It's something that's nothing, it's not wrong within itself, but it's something that can truly be the affairs of this life that we can get entangled with that will affect our focus. You know, like Facebook. Uh-oh, I'm starting to meddle now, aren't I? Then stop preaching and go on to meddling. Video games. Television. I mean, you know, nowadays we talk about kids playing their video games. You know, when us baby boomers were kids, what was turn off the television and go outside and do something. There's nothing new. The devil's going to use whatever he can to get us entangled, to affect us. And so the Lord is saying here, no man that warreth entangle himself with affairs, we need to keep a focus. And then lastly, notice what it says, that no man that entangle himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We must have a goal. And what is our goal? For my birthday this past year, Jonathan and Deborah, they got this machine that cuts out all these nice, beautiful things. And they made me a plaque about yay big. And on it, it said, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's our goal, folks. And if we keep that goal in front of our heart, it makes all the difference in the world in what we do with our lives. What does it say in Revelation 4:11? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise. For Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Folks, that's why God created us. That's why he redeemed us, that we may bring him pleasure. That's the goal we should have in everything that we do. I mean, I thank the Lord for those people that have a business. Say, I want to honor God with my business. I want to honor God with my children. I want to honor God with my house. I want to honor God with my possessions. Because that is the goal we should all have as a child of God. A soldier for Christ will keep that goal in front of them. Realizing that's why I'm here. That's what my purpose in life is. I mean, you think about it, you know, like you ask somebody, so what's your goal? Well, I want to go to college, get a good education. Okay, well, what then? Well, I want to get a good job and make enough money. Well, then what then? Well, I'd probably like to get a wife and have some children. Well, what then? Well, I probably want to, you know, go through life, get the house paid off, raise the kids, get them to college, and you know, build up my career. Well, what then? Well, I guess sometime I'll retire. Well, what then? Well, I guess I'll go play golf. And then what? Well, I guess someday I'm going to die. Well, then what? We'll stand before the Lord Jesus Christ someday as a child of God and give an account for how we spend our life. And if we got entangled with the affairs of the life and forgot what our goal is, we will be ashamed at the day of the judgment seat of Christ. But if we want to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you've got to have that right goal. The right goal. 13 weeks of basic training, being yelled at, pushed at, goaded, drained. But it's a glorious day when they cross that line that says, you are now a Marine. And like they say also, once a Marine, always a Marine. There's something about that honor. Folks, a much better honor is to truly be called a Christian. A soldier for Christ. And Paul's telling us how to do it right here. So we need to do a search of our own heart. Ask God to show us what maybe things in our life we need to get control of. Sin we may have to deal with. Discipline ourselves regularly in the Scriptures and praying and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, as Pastor Carl mentioned, divine appointments of talking to people about Christ. But the purpose of, Lord, I want to, you know, I think it would be good for every morning before you get out of bed, if you're awake enough, say, Lord, today I want to please you. Today, may everything that I say or do please you. May I be a soldier for Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, oh, how we do praise you for your holiness. Oh, how we praise you for your goodness. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to every one of our hearts here this evening. Lord, if there's sin in any one of the person's heart here tonight, may your Holy Spirit even now smite them heavily, strongly. They'll have no peace. Should they get along with you and deal with that sin? Lord, if there's someone here on the verge of wanting to give up or quit or being discouraged, pray, Lord, that you would encourage them, that they'll endure hardness, keep their focus, see the goal. Use us, Lord, for your glory. May we truly be soldiers for you. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Let's stand as we sing one verse. Brother Jim, come on over.